This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. When Typhoon Halong swept through western Alaska in October, it devastated houses and infrastructure across communities. But for the village of Quinnahock, it also flooded a critical piece of their past, an archaeological dig. KYUK reports on an emergency dig that will help them excavate that past before it's gone. Here's the report.
It was on a Sunday when we went for a ride.
Jenny Matthews says the day after Typhoon Halong, she didn't go out to the beach looking for things. Overnight, the fall storm had torn through the coast.
The house kept shaking.
She and her husband rode four-wheelers along the Bering Sea beach a mile from their home. She could see how the wind and water had torn up the tundra on the coast. Then she noticed something else.
I said to my husband, "Look, what's that?" We stopped. He got up and took it, and it was that bowl.
The bowl was wooden and smooth. It was carved by Quinnahock residents half a century ago. The storm had unearthed it from the archaeological dig site called Nunahluk that sits near her village. That bowl was one of thousands of artifacts the storm scattered across miles of coastline. Matthew, her daughter and husband, and several other Quinnahock community residents began to recover as many of the exposed artifacts as possible.
A couple of days later, the ground kind of froze and snowed, and we couldn't find anything.
Now, summer has come to the Nunahluk dig site, thawing the earth again for excavation. This site is one of the best examples of Yupik culture and life before Russian contact. And a team of archaeologists is here on an emergency dig to recover as much of it as possible before the next big storm. Archaeologist Charlotta Hillerdahl has been coming to this dig site for years. She says it's like an old friend. She was home in Scotland when she heard that Nunahluk had been submerged under several feet of water during the storm.
I was crying. I'm not, you know, that it was a horrible feeling.
To save time during the summer's three-week dig, the dirt won't be searched twice, so she has to be extra attentive. Her travel touches something solid. She brushes away the dirt to reveal the stern face of a wooden doll.
So we have find quite a lot of these, but this one is nice because it looks like it has a painted face, which is quite unusual.
Lead archaeologist Rick Knecht says the families who lived in this house were dealing with rapid climate change, too. 500 years ago, when Shakespeare was writing plays in England, Western Alaska experienced a period of cooling called the Little Ice Age. Quinnahock's ancestors survived by adapting their hunting, and they made intricate carvings inside their homes, sheltered from the weather. Today, Quinnahock residents have watched the Bering Sea creep closer and closer. Knecht says since the dig started nearly 20 years ago, they've barely kept ahead of the coastal erosion. As the climate warms, they're losing something like 3 feet of coast a year.
That's tough. It's like every bit as tough as working in front of bulldozers.
They've always known that the sea would eventually overtake Nunahluk. But Knecht says no one thought it would come this soon or this violently. Now, he says, they're in a sprint to recover everything they can.
I'll be damned if I'm going to leave this for the waves. You see the kind of things we're finding. It's too much. It's, you just can't. It's like you might as well take all those pieces of artwork we're finding and skip it off into the Bering Sea, not doing it.
Knecht says every find is a miracle. In the days after the typhoon, there were about 2,000 of them along Quinnahock's beach. The artifacts that the community recovered from the shore have helped solve mysteries of life in Quinnahock's past. Knecht holds up a wooden mask with etched lines. Among them is a half circle, what the Nunahluk researchers understand to be a shorthand for the Eye of Awareness, a Yupik symbol denoting the universe.
And now, thanks to that mask and thanks to this, we can make that jump and realize that they're putting a little Eye of Awareness, that little recognition of the universe on the bottom of every bowl. Never could figure out what that was.
He says without that find in the muck following the typhoon, the fragmented symbols would remain a mystery. He says the recoveries are one example of the mutual aid going on in Quinnahock. Nalakhuk, a subsidiary of the village's tribal corporation, facilitates the Nunahlak project. Through the dig and other projects, they've been working to bridge local knowledge with modern tech. They provided drone training for Quinnahock Search and Rescue Team, who were the community's first responders in the hours after Typhoon Halong.
That's how you get through a climate crisis and change. That you get together, you share ideas, you share technologies, and it's exactly what happened here at the site 400 years ago.
Lynn Church is the CEO of Nalakhuk. She says for Yupik communities facing climate change, their culture is on the line. It's the same culture that connects them to their ancestors, whose hunting tools, carved artwork, and sewing needles that have been excavated from the Nunahlak site.
And that's part of the bigger picture, is that we want our people to live our way of life, the subsistence lifestyle, continue to live it, and be safe at home at the same time.
After Halong, Church says some families who experienced flooding in their homes evacuated to Anchorage. Village infrastructure like pipes and wooden bridges were displaced by water.
These storms are going to keep happening whether we like it or not. But what I like about the Yupik culture is that despite the hardships and environmental changes we see throughout the years and the technology advancing, we tend to adapt. Yeah. And so we're adapting. So we're preparing.
Church says after Typhoon Halong, the community created new emergency procedures and response plans. They'll use drones to assess damages. It's all in the effort, like that of their ancestors, to continue to adapt to a changing climate and thrive. In Quinnahock, I'm Samantha Watson. Alaska Airlines canceled 10 flights statewide Wednesday because of ash drifting over the state from an erupting volcano on Russia's Kamchatka Peninsula. An Alaska Airlines spokesperson said in an email that the cancellations affected more than 1,000 passengers. The flights were canceled because volcanic ash can damage airliners' engines. David Fee is the coordinating scientist at the Alaska Volcano Observatory at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says the ash came from an eruption that occurred Tuesday on Mount Shivalich. He says that the volcano may spew more ash in the coming days.
So Shivalich is a pretty active volcano. I would say definitely one of the more active explosive volcanoes, really even globally. And it looks like right now it's in an active phase.
Fee says a lava dome formed inside the volcano and its intermittent eruptions have blasted ash skyward.
And, you know, when that happens, it produces ash that goes in the atmosphere. And the kind of dominant wind direction is east, so it blows that ash, you know, towards Alaska.
The series of eruptions ended Wednesday morning, and by late afternoon, the ash had drifted across the state and into the Yukon Territory. More eruptions are likely, but he says that doesn't necessarily mean more ash is headed to Alaska.
So I'd say it's definitely possible, and it just depends on how big the eruptions are and what the winds are doing.
Fee says the wind direction may change before another eruption occurs, or the jet stream winds at around 30,000 feet blowing at 100 knots could change direction while the ash is on its 1,500-mile transit from Russia to Alaska. But Shivalich erupted again late Wednesday afternoon, says Prince Bilal, a meteorologist with Anchorage Volcanic Ash Advisory Center.
We just had an eruption, another Shivalich eruption that went off 2 hours ago. And that one is currently not quite headed for Alaska at the moment, but that could change depending on what the wind does.
Despite that uncertainty, Bilal says analysts with the Tokyo Volcanic Ash Advisory Center think ash from Wednesday afternoon's eruption is unlikely to make it to Alaska. This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchit coming up.